Thank you so much, Vanessa. Thank you so much for that reading. And I am so grateful to be starting another book of the Bible, another opportunity to learn more about what the Lord wants me to understand about this new life that He has given to me. This week I've been thinking about things like new creation, you know, that I'm a new creation in Christ, and it's one verse that I've been working on trying to remember. I know the place is 2 Corinthians 5:21, and it says that God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might have the righteousness of God. And I just think about how wonderful it is to be living at a time that the good news has already been given. For so many years, people had waited to understand and see this good news. In fact, I'm sure there were many people who had probably lost hope that the Messiah would come. As it was just a remnant of the people on the earth, because it was the Jews who believed what the Lord said about that promise coming. And I'm sure there were other people who were just out to, you know, have fun, and they didn't care. A lot like where we are today, where the Lord has said that He's going to come back. And there are Christians who are so committed to that message that they are doing the Lord's will by, you know, showing His gospel to others so that they too may be saved. But there are people who are not involved in that at all. And so I see so many parallels about the early church and about the church now, and how we are just trying to live out the word of the Lord. This epistle was also written by Paul, as the last one was, and we had shared before when we were on Galatians that Paul was a convert. He was a Jew who actually persecuted the church. He persecuted Christians, and because he felt that they were blaspheming his understanding of the one true God. And God had to meet him on the road one day and blind him, actually, before he got his attention. But when he got his attention, Paul just, you know, fell hill over heels in love with the Lord and became a strong follower of the Lord. And this particular epistle is one written to a church that one of the commentaries said that he was actually the pastor for a few years. And so I know that in the book of Acts, when Paul leaves this church, this is the church that was crying for him on the beach, you know, when he was about to leave. I remember some place in Acts, you know, when they're so sad. But another one of the commentaries said that one of the strong points of this particular epistle is that it reminds the people to not to rely on him, but to rely on the Lord. And I know for me in recovery, that is so, so important for me to remember and to also remind all people that I have the privilege of sponsoring or even just helping along the way, that I am not their source of strength, but Jesus is, and always and everywhere to make sure that I point them to the true source of strength, because we all have clay feet. All human beings have clay feet, so they have that possibility of hurting even when they are not intending to do that. And so to really keep bringing home the importance of focusing on the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, has just been put into my heart very strongly. And so this epistle goes right into that. I love the way that Paul starts a lot of his letters, and he started this one in Paul, he said, an apostle of Christ Jesus. And I looked up that Greek, what apostle was, and it said it was a messenger, one who has been sent out with orders. And when I heard that, or when I read it, it was like, yeah, that's exactly what I am. You know, I have been given a message. God gave me a message when he saved me. And the message that he has given to me, that has been written in my heart, is that Jesus is assuredly the promised Messiah. I have such certainty of that, that I know it was nothing that I manufactured in my own mind. That is a Holy Spirit occurrence. To have that that assurance, I think about how when Jesus turned to the apostles at one point and he said, who do people say that I am? And they were throwing up different things that they had heard other people say about him. And he said, well, who do you think I am? And it was Peter who testified, you know, who he was. And the Lord said to Peter, he says that, you know, you didn't do that yourself. You know, that is, you know, the Lord, I mean, the Holy Spirit, you know, the Spirit did that in you. And so that is what I know is true for me, too, is that I know that Jesus is most assuredly the promised Messiah. And I have, like Paul, like I said, been commissioned to take that message to the world. And the best way that I take it, of course, is through my life, my living. And I have to keep in mind that I am, that people watch. I'm always surprised that people watch. I had two instances. On Friday, I subbed at a school, and two of the kids, one came up to me in the hallway and said, didn't I see you at church the other day? They said, I saw you in your car, you know, backing out in the car. And the church that I go to is fairly big, so I was like, whoa, he saw me at church, you know. And I hadn't even, you know, thought about, you know, the kids sometimes. And then another child said to me, it said, don't you go to my church, you know? And so, you think that you can be anonymous sometimes, but the truth is that kids see you and they remember you. In fact, I used to have that happen sometimes when I used to live in New York City. I would have students who would come up to me on the subway, and they would go, Mrs. Nordstrom, and I would be thinking to myself, who is this? You know, because of course they had gotten bigger and whatever. And they would go, oh, don't you remember when you taught me and blah, 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 blah? And I go, oh, yeah. You know, vaguely sometimes it would come back. So my testimony always is my living. That's the biggest testimony that I have. And like somebody who reminds us on this line, they say, you know, everywhere, always preach the gospel everywhere, and when necessary, use words, you know. And so my life has to be a testimony. And I, like Paul, have been called out, and I have been sent with a message. I am a messenger. Because the Lord has done that. And it says also in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. And I looked up that Greek word for will, and it was thelame, and it meant God's pleasure. And despite what the devil would have me believe, God is good, and it pleases him to give me good things, you know. And there's a verse in Luke, some verses, actually a passage, Luke 11 through 13, where Jesus reminds his listeners. He says that, you know, if you as a father, an earthly sinful father, knows how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God, you know, be able to give you the Holy Spirit, the one who asks, you know, if you ask for the Holy Spirit, he'll give it to you. And so to me, I love those because it answers the question sometimes, and of course it came up even in this reading when people talk about that whole issue of elect, you know, well, before the foundation of the world, does that mean that there's a group of people that you know, that I'm going to make it, and some that won't. Well, yeah, there is a group of people, and yes, God knows who they are, because He is all-knowing. But as far as, you know, it's an equal opportunity, He's an equal opportunity Messiah, you know. It says in another part of the Bible that, you know, He doesn't want anyone to perish. And so the message is placed out there. And but again, the choice is up to the hearer. And the sad thing about it, of course, is that to hear things over and over and over again and not act upon them. Someone said this at the 90 days meeting the other day, you know, that when we hear things over and over and over again and we don't act on them, then, you know, you know, essentially what we do is that we harden our hearts. We get a stiff neck about things, and when we hear it again, we may not even recognize it because we've turned such a deaf ear to it. In that very first verse again, I'm still in the first verse, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and it says, to the saints. And again, I looked up that Greek word, and it was persons whose services God employs. And it took me a while to learn the biblical understanding of the word saints. I had thought at one time that a saint had to be pronounced by someone, that it had to be the will of man had to decide, you know, this is a saint. But saints are made by God. Saints are people who have accepted the Lord Jesus. That's the biblical understanding of the word saint, that anyone who has that Holy Spirit living in them, they are a saint. And so, I mean, this is how Paul uses the word too. He says, to the saints in Ephesus, he calls them the faithful in Christ Jesus. And I looked up that word, faithful, that Greek word, and it meant trustworthy. Trustworthy to execute the commands that were given. One who can be relied upon. And again, it goes back to that thing about revelation, that Jesus gives me revelation in His Word to empower me and to help me and to help build up the church. But to not sit and stockpile it. You know, it's not for me to sit and, you know, have these little trophies. Whoa, you know, I have this understanding of the Word, and or I can memorize these many verses. But if I'm not living those verses out, you know, it's like a clanging bell. It doesn't mean anything to the Lord. And so these are active. My faith has to be active. I must be trustworthy to execute the commands that the Lord has given to me. That second verse talks about grace and peace. And the Greek word for grace, it was a word spelled C-H-A-R-I-S. But it's pronounced Harris. That's how the guy said it on the internet today. Harris, he said. And I looked it up. I mean, it had the definition right beside it. It says sweetness, goodness, and favor. And in the spirit of Jesus, I'm able to be a gentle and sweet and loving person. And that's so nice. You know, it is nice. When I was subbing on a Friday, I had prayed. I had asked the Lord to please let me have a good day, and please let me, do my work, do it well. And so I was a sub, and I even thought to myself, whoa, you're being nice. You know, I thought to myself, whoa, I'm being nice. And the truth is that I was being nice because it was the Spirit of the Lord working in me, you know. And the thing about the Spirit working in a person is that he makes that gentleness and peace. That peace is so amazing, because what had happened is that on Friday, I was actually subbing for two different people at the school. And so I had somehow mixed up. One of them wanted to give a test, and when I went into the classroom to look for the test, it wasn't there. And I went, oh my goodness, I wonder, you know, I remember her telling me where it was, and I couldn't remember where it was. and the kids were coming in and whatever. And I'm telling you, the spirit just so works, because I was able to just be honest with the kids, you know, and to say it in a way that they didn't take advantage of me. You know, it wasn't like the sub, you know, and we're going to, you know, turn this thing around. And they just waited, and I said, you know, if you want to, you can work quietly with someone. And I was able to figure out and get the computer running, and I was able to access it by going to my own email at home, you know, through online, you know, and pull it all up. And I mean, please, I wouldn't have even thought about doing it. You know, how was I going to find it? And I found it that way. I went back, reread what she had said to me in the original email, found out exactly where it was, and got it going. And again, that's the Spirit of God, because He gives me that grace and that peace. And Paul says that grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful too for Jesus, because He has made God my Father. You know, God was just some big person in the sky before I came to know Him as my Savior. But today He's my Father, and I delight in talking to Him. It is not a burden to me to pray to the Lord. We were talking about that at a church meeting today, and I tell you, I'm just grateful for what I've learned about prayer, and how the Spirit teaches me about prayer, and how the Bible teaches me. And it's one of my favorite things to do when I get up in the morning, is to pray, because I'm all by myself, you know, nobody else is up, and except me and the dogs, and sometimes just one dog, and she's used to me walking around and praying out loud, and it's kind of like, you know, she looks up and kind of goes, I think she just kind of likes it, because I'm sure my voice is different. It's probably softer, you know, as I'm talking to the Lord in that way. But anyway, I'm going to stop there. I'm going to ask Vanessa if she could give us some comments on this reading, and then we will hear from you guys on the line. But Vanessa?
Yes, thank you.